Alpha, you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
What's up?
Hey everybody, welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults sit around and talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing fighting monsters. And this week we talk about the Green Ranger struggles with dementia, I guess. It's real bad, you guys. Tommy's got problems, and not just the ones that we make up on this show.
We did not make any of his problems up.
This is a legitimate and severe issue.
I'm Zach, and joining me this week, we've got Luke.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Fucking goddamn it. We've got Mike.
Hey, I've been having some weird technical issues, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, but not the ones on the hand holding your microphone together. Let's keep that one uncrossed. Yeah. We've got Simon.
So, apparently my headset is too cheap for you guys, but I'm still here. So
I came across as the bad guy now in this situation.
That's because you are the bad guy.
And joining us for the first time, we have our buddy Mitchell.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. So for people who don't keep extremely close tabs on our like Facebook page and don't know, Mitchell, you are the guy who wrote our theme song for us and performed, I assume.
Yes.
Unless you hired somebody.
No, that's that was all me, if you can believe it.
So
that
we have
perfect Zordon.
We've been wanting to get you on for a while. But I realized after you said you wanted to be on, I actually don't know, what is your history with the show? Did you watch this as a kid, or did you just ask me what kind of theme song, and I just said the butt rockinist, and you said got it?
That was pretty much it. Your entire direction was, well, I want some butt rock.
Like, yep. All right. That's all I need.
Being born in the late 80s and being in elementary school when Mighty Morphin came out, it was kind of impossible to be totally ignorant of the Power Rangers.
Sure.
And so I definitely saw some episodes here and there. I had enough of an awareness of it to know about the show and then to know that when the Green Ranger arrived, like, oh, they're getting into some serious storytelling.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is like, this is it.
Wow.
Like the Moby Dick of children.
Yeah. And so I
hold on. Hold on. Did you just say the Moby
really
Dick
badly.
Of children?
Yeah,
not I for meant, children, but for... of children.
I used the wrong preposition. Is that what that part of speech is called?
Well,
yeah.
Above.
If I remember my schoolhouse rock. Yeah, that's a preposition.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
Speaking of the Moby Dick of children, though, it was for some. Well, this will make sense in a moment. Despite being in elementary school and squarely in the show's demographic, for some reason, my friend group and I got it in our heads that as like, you know, third or fourth graders, that the Power Rangers was baby shit. And sure. So we didn't like get together and watch it very often together. but we would all keep tabs on it secretly.
Okay, yes. And we've actually had people who said that before, or they were like, yeah, I knew I wasn't supposed to be watching it, but I did it anyway.
Yeah, and so I would go, and there was this kid, just like the nemesis of all in my neighborhood. His name was Tony. And
Tony's son of a bitch.
He's always driving his go-kart around the neighborhood and just like showboating, being a real.
Holy shit. Yeah. If I knew a kid who had a fucking go-kart in fourth grade, I would hate him.
Yeah. Just like, so, I mean, he's a real Moby Dick. And, but anyway, Tony was the one who just unashamedly like kept up on the Rangers. And we would, you know, we would be shitty kids and trash talk Tony in public, but then we would all, you know, go to Tony for that Power Rangers hookup in private. And I remember very distinctly just like sitting in Tony's house watching the Green Ranger Saga, like playing with his Megazord, trying in vain to make this stupid plastic thing work, never succeeding in putting all the pieces together. But
I love this clandestine, like, no one must know.
Power Rangers speakeasy, just say the secret code and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome. I had a very similar experience with the rich kid in my neighborhood that everyone hated, except he had all the cool Digimon toys.
No such thing?
Yeah. Shut up, Luke. So that's awesome. So I assume you just watched it when you were a little kid
really most of, like, I feel like the strongest memories I have related to Power Rangers, aside from my secret meetings with Tony, were like, you know, playing the Super Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Because that was, I mean, that was fair game. It was a Super Nintendo game.
Sure.
There's nothing to be ashamed about there. Or like I said, fiddling with those goddamn Zords. And trying to make them fit together.
Yeah, and what's really funny about those is that they were, like, I remember them being much simpler to work than the, like, Transformers, but I also remember them still being kind of hard anyway.
God, they were like, so obtuse. I was not, maybe it was my own deficiency there, but yeah, so I just watched some episodes, and I didn't really check in very much. I did see the movie.
Awesome. Okay, good. Yep. Yes. Yeah. I think a lot of people did and then kind of stopped watching. Yeah,
that was a big enough cultural event.
The reason I bought the Legacy Thunder Megazord is because I broke the one I got for Christmas the day after I got it trying to transform it.
Oh, no.
So, like, I had to heal that hole that
you
was left
fixed. You
childhood.
Fixed this 15-year-old wrong. That's awesome. Well, cool. That's great. Well, let's see how this shit matches up to your memories. I'm gonna guess poorly.
Let us be your Tony.
Yes. So, let's quickly do our Morphak news nimble for this week, which is it's pretty quick, but it's kind of a cool story. If you don't, this is something that happened a little bit ago, but if you don't regularly Google Power Rangers news like I do, you probably didn't hear about it. So basically at Power Morphicon this year, they had a panel with the current, Power Rangers cast, the Dino Charge cast. And at the end of that cast, or the end of that panel, they had the new, Rangers come out, the cast for the new show, Ninja Steel. And they came out in kind of an unusual order because the Blue Ranger was last. The reason they did this is because Yoshi Sudarso, I'm really sorry, I know that's, I didn't get that right, who is the current Blue Ranger, his brother, Peter Sudarso, has been cast as the Blue Ranger in Ninja Steel. And they had not told Yoshi that this was going to happen until he walked out on stage in front of everybody at Power Morphicon. And there was much crying and hugging. And it's very, very sweet. I love that story. Somebody sent it to me. Apparently, they had told everyone except Peter, like literally Yoshi. He had auditioned. But they told everyone except Peter, including Yoshi, and I think even Peter's wife, maybe, or girlfriend, that he had not gotten the part. In order to keep this a secret.
They lied to her at first, and actually lied to him at first, and then later clarified, like, hey, no, you actually got it.
Oh, they told him he didn't get it?
Yeah,
fuck.
But then they contacted him back later, like, hey, like, no, really, you got it? But we want to surprise your brother, and we knew that if we told you up front that you got it, you would have told him right away.
Okay, that's fair. That makes sense. That's also kind of shitty.
That's rough.
Yeah, but I do love that they managed to keep it a secret, and it's really sweet. You can find it on YouTube. But I thought that was awesome, and it's Dino Charge has been good, which is rare. That the last two new Power Rangers seasons have not. So we'll see if they continue that. I'm hopeful. But that was neat. And that was the last More Fact Newsnable ever. I'm replacing it with the new segment, The Golden Hour, where we talk about Goldar for a while. All right, so...
Wait, what?
Wait, hold on.
Whoa.
Wait a second. I'm on board, but we couldn't just wait until the transition into the next season?
No, shut up.
We're going to do it just here?
Listen, something happened. So they put out a... Power Rangers comic annual, which if you don't read comic books, an annual is kind of a yearly special. It's usually like a bunch of little stories or one story that's either not in continuity or not like about the current arc. And they had a bunch of guest writers and guest artists on this thing. And it was fun. It has a story about what if Bulk and Skull become Power Rangers. Bulk is purple and Skull is orange, respectively, which is pretty great.
Did they get orange for Skull?
I don't know that one. Maybe just because it matches with purple, I guess.
I think they just wanted to pick the colors that haven't really been used.
Yeah.
Is the idea.
And Bulk has like a pig snout on his... helmet, which matches, but is also kind of fucked up.
I was going to ask, have they ever had any Rangers who have like a at all different body type than Super Fit Teens?
No. Nope, never have. Which is kind of a bummer. They should probably.
And I guess
do that.
Technically, Justin.
Well, yes, there is a child at one point. That's a good point. But he like but turns. He's fit. Yeah. Yes, he's a fit
child.
Well,
he turns
child.
Into a Super Fit Teen when he morphs.
Yeah, but okay. So that's a cool story, but the one that I want to focus on is the origin of Goldar, which reveals that Goldar is part of a group of alien warriors known as the Pack. So I guess that confirms he is like a wolf man. And well, though maybe not because the Pack's leader is his brother, Silverback, which is an ape thing, don't know. You heard me? You heard me. Goldar's brother, Silverback.
What's the collective noun for gorillas?
Like gold and silver.
Yeah, he looks literally exactly like Goldar, but he's silver instead of gold.
God.
And the Pack's whole thing is they honor strength above everything else. So it's like... It's
all right. I just looked it up for you, Luke. A group of gorillas is called either a band or a troop.
Okay.
There you go.
So if you've ever seen what's that fucking really bad sequel to Pitch Black, the Riddick Chronicles?
Sure, Chronicles of Riddick.
Where the aliens in that, their whole thing is like, if you can kill somebody, you just get their shit, and then we have to pretend like you're the new leader. That's basically the Pack. Okay. So the Pack's leader is Silverback, and they're attacking Eltar, which is Zordon's home planet, for Zed, for Lord Zed, and when Zordon flees. Words are hard.
Fled.
At that point, everyone is kind of questioning Zed's leadership because he hasn't appeared in public since he went after the Zeo Crystal, foreshadowing, or backshadowing, I guess, and he has not appeared in public. So everyone's like, maybe Zed's not really that big of a fucking deal, and maybe Silverback will take over. So Zed summons Silverback and Goldar, and Zed is like cloaked and like hunched over in his throne, and Silverback says, "You're not shit, Zed, I'm gonna fuck you up." At which point, Zed throws off his cloak, revealing he's been horribly disfigured by trying to touch the Zeo Crystal, which I think is canon. I think that's in the show. That the Zeo Crystal, like, only lets good people touch it.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's, like, that is actually something they mentioned.
Okay, I thought you meant the part where the reason Zed wears a mask and stuff is because of the crystals, which I don't think is ever stated.
Well, so in the comic, they say, like, oh, God, what happened to his fucking skin? Which I guess implies that's not what he's always looked like.
I mean, at the end of In Space, when Zordon turns all the evil in the galaxy good, you see Zed turn into a dude. I guess he was a dude.
Yeah. So, in any point, then Zed just fucking murders Silverback. He just super kills him.
Which explains, obviously, why in season two, as soon as Zed walks in there, Goldar's like, yep, I'm on this guy's side.
So what happens is he actually doesn't kill him. He says, he mortally wounds him and then says, Goldar, you know how the pack's leadership works. Whoever kills the strongest person is the strongest.
Oh, God.
And Goldar goes, good point, and takes Silverback's sword and kills him with it and becomes the leader of the pack and the strongest of his species. At that point, Zed knows that Zordon has fled, and he sends Goldar to Earth to spy on his emissary there, Rita, because he thinks she's gonna fucking try stab him in the back.
Wait,
and
what?
Take it over for herself.
Good instinct, Zed.
Yeah.
Wait, so they're saying Rita worked for Zed in the past?
Rita works for Zed in the show. We'll see that, and that's the reason I'm bringing this up is because we're about to shift over to Zed.
Yeah.
She is under him, but this kind of adds the wrinkle that Zed already knew that she was not trustworthy.
Yeah,
basically.
Goldar was Zed's man on the inside. I like that idea.
And Zed or Goldar was kind of his like spy on the inside.
Yeah.
Which when we see how Zed Goldar reacts, Which when we see how Goldar reacts when Zed shows up, which is basically to immediately toss Rita under the bus as hard as fucking possible, it kind of makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
I mean it. It was already going to make a lot of sense because
she's terrible at her job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the worst leader.
I like this, but I'm not sure how I feel about the idea of Goldar having murdered his brother. I know Goldar is a bad guy, don't get me wrong, but I like him. So, and knowing that he did that kind of doesn't sit right. I don't know. Feels weird.
So anyway, I thought that was cool to bring up. And I don't know. It's just really neat. I want more of Goldar. I know this isn't like news, but I would watch a whole fucking Goldar spinoff.
Yep.
They still haven't confirmed your boy for the movie yet, have they?
No, I don't think he's going to fucking be in it. Which makes me so mad cuz they're keeping Alpha, but yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I can see them putting Goldar in. He doesn't seem that far-fetched.
Like, she gotta have a henchman, right? She can't just be her. Like, I don't know. I hope so. I really hope so.
And this Rita does it all.
Yeah, she does. She does look like a badass. I don't know. I'm still... We'll see. I hope so. God, I hope so.
We all so
it's gonna be okay, Zach.
No, it won't. It'll be terrible. Nah,
listen.
I mean...
The Good. Movie sucks. Yeah. I'm comfortable saying that already.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Whatever, I'll always have the 1990 whatever movie to...
Yeah, that he's not in.
He's in it, he just he's looks like it. Garbage and he's only in the first 3 minutes.
Yeah. So. Oh, he gets thrown into the snow globe, right?
Yeah, Ivan Ooze shows up and goes... You guys aren't going to be in this movie. Goodbye.
Yep. He throws the whole squad
no,
in
No, they
it.
Had, like, two weird new henchmen for the movie, I thought.
Does Rita have some weird, like, extra pig henchmen?
Yep, there's a pig that takes the place of Squad Babu and Finster, I think. It's just these four.
Yeah, for no reason.
Goldar still, okay.
Yeah, but Goldar is in it. He's got, because there's, like, a different suit for him, and he looks nothing like Goldar. So, yeah. Anyway. So that's all I got for this week on the Golden Hour. Look forward to more Goldar news next week.
I'm going to hold you to this. You're going to give us Goldar news every week now.
I'm disappointed we never actually, like, doubled down and like, did the thing where you picked a random fucking name out of the credits.
Well, he did it once. He did the boom mic operator.
I can do that. This can still
also
happen.
Also, we're coming up on season two. Like, we're going to get more cast members that we can do.
Right, but not till halfway through, because there's...
We're getting Lord Zedd.
No, it's gone now. Now we have to do the Golden Hour. We don't have Morphak News Mill anymore.
It's true.
He said it, and I'm making him stick to it.
I did say this thing. All right, let's move on. So, this week we are talking about... episode 59 of season 1, which is a crazy sentence that I still can't bring myself to understand. But this is episode 59, Mighty Morphin Mutants. And
oh boy.
It's an episode. So we open with Tommy literally sprinting through the halls of school to get to his locker.
Or was he going to his locker? What? What was I running for?
This is a good point, because what is quickly revealed is that Tommy has a character trait that's never been mentioned before at all.
Yep.
Which is that he has a goldfish memory. He can't fucking remember anything.
Crippling forgetfulness.
He's trapped in a horrific, dementia style or memento. I guess.
It's a degenerative disease.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you guys if this had been ever established before, but I forgot.
The only thing even sort of like this is that he tends to leave his morphing watch in his bag.
Yeah.
That's mostly.
That's kind of like this.
That's mostly for narrative convenience, so that he, like, they can explain why he isn't around, but they've never. He never is like, oh shit, I forgot my watch in the bag.
Right,
he just put it in there for no reason.
Yeah.
So he goes to his locker and Kimberly walks up and he's like, oh shit, sorry, Kim, I can't talk. I'm late for Miss Appleby's class.
I immediately had the question, why isn't Kimberly running late for class?
Right, these asynchronous class schedules.
Wait, since when is Tommy in Miss Appleby's class?
That's a good point. They have
He's forgetting to go.
Yeah, there you go. They have explicitly shown him not in class with the other Rangers, but maybe he just forgot to go before.
Only teacher, so he's got some classes with them and some classes not.
Yeah, so he tries to run off to Miss Appleby's class, comes back, he forgot his notebook.
Hold on, if there are no other teachers, what other class are the other Rangers in when he's in this
class? That's why Kimberly's just roaming the hall. She has a free period.
They have five out of six free periods. They just
the schedule's like Appleby, 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 free period, Appleby, karate.
Karate, lunch. Lunch karate. So at this point, he runs away. He comes back because he forgot his notebook. And then he leaves and just forgets to close his locker. So he doesn't have forgetfulness. This is bad. Like, something's wrong.
Yeah.
As somebody who
This I can see because he's panicked in a hurry, right?
Yeah. Sure. As somebody who loses his phone, I don't know, four times a day, like in my house, it's not gone, but just constantly misplaces things. This is, like, pretty extreme still, even for just mild forgetfulness. You're moving into, dude, you can't remember anything. This is bad. So we go into Miss Appleby's class. Miss Appleby has a fucking haircut.
Yeah.
Is this new?
Yeah, this is new. She has, like, a short, like, slicked back haircut. It's looking a little different for her, which is fine. And
she side-eyes Tommy so hard when he walks.
Dude, he can't get a fucking break. The last time we saw him interact with Miss Appleby, it was where his watch broke and kept going off, so she took it. And now he's walking into class late. Like, he's going to be get a troublemaker reputation, which is...
Like, I feel like early on, Miss Appleby's character was just, like, the nice, friendly teacher, and obviously she was a little... grumpy with Bulk and Skull, but at some point they just made her the hard ass.
They kind of switched it around because she took his stuff, and like the whole joke that last episode was Miss Appleby never gives stuff back, and in this episode, well, we'll talk about it in just a second, because he walks in and she goes, hey, nice to join us. Thanks, Tommy. And he's like, I'm sorry, I forgot my note. Or what is he? Oh, I forgot to set my alarm clock.
I'm sorry, I'm working on my speed run through Chrono Trigger.
Had to go to a save point.
So he says, I'm sorry, I forgot to set my alarm clock. And Bulk is sitting next to him and goes, yeah, are you just early for tomorrow?
Eating it up.
Yep. Good joke, guys.
I actually liked it. He's like, are you late for today or early for tomorrow? I thought that was a good zinger, honestly.
That is really, like, not even a dad joke. That is a grandpa joke.
I really like Bulk and Skull in this episode because as much as we always like them, I'm coming to realize that I like them more as just slightly like standoffish, you know, friends instead of just dicks. Like, they're more fun. Right. When they're just kind of bantering a little bit and not actually trying to bully the Rangers, mostly because they're no threat. Like, obviously, it doesn't make sense that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're good in this episode. But at this point, she says, "Your assignment for this week," and this is fucking crazy.
It's some kind of self improvement class, apparently. Yeah, I don't know.
Hey. Your assignment this week is that you're fucking shitty teenagers. Try to be less of that.
She says, go ahead. Sorry.
Maybe that's why there's only Bulk and Skull and Tommy of people we know in this class. It's not an actual class that everyone needs to take. You get assigned to that class when you need it.
Yeah. This is remedial, Appleby.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. She says, I want you to talk to your friends and get them to tell you something about yourself that needs a little work. And then I want you to try to fix it. Holy shit.
Yeah.
High school classroom.
That's a hell of an assignment.
Yeah.
Ask your friends what your terrible, crippling character flaws are and try to get your shit together.
Like, immediately you can just imagine someone with, like, big self-confidence, self-esteem problems having to do that, asking someone, so what do you think, like, needs improvement about me? And then they get, like, the harshest fucking truth, like, spit right in their face and have a mental breakdown. So good job, Appleby.
Yeah, think about how rough this is now to ask your friends, like, hey, man, like, what do you think is wrong with me? And then them telling you. And
I mean, you very gently informed Simon that his microphone wasn't the best, and now you're mortal enemies.
I'm
looking at it. I'm ordering one now, okay? It'll be better. Next time I'm on, it'll be better.
But yeah, I mean, we all have little things that aren't perfect about us. But even when people tell us with the best intentions, it's not fun. Like, it's not a fun conversation.
Right.
So for you to be in high school, which, yeah, everybody having, like, crippling self-confidence issues because you're a teenager, that's a hell of a thing to just throw out as a homework assignment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm skipping way ahead and we'll get more into it later, but later on, Bulk and Skull are like, we like the way we are, fuck off.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Yeah!
Yeah, and also, fix something that's wrong with you, even if it is genuinely, like...
It's so judgy!
Well, even if it's... Yeah. Even not from a judgy angle, but from, like, I have a serious problem with, like, I don't know, like, WoW addiction. Like, it's
right.
Really a problem. And fix this by next Tuesday.
Yeah, due date on that as a school assignment. Assumedly, there'll be a letter grade.
Yeah, like, that's...
Well, I'm in really
deep in gambling debts to the mob. I told them, you know, I don't have your money, and I'm sorry, but I need this money for groceries and for living expenses. And they said, okay, it'll be fine. The guy gave me a kiss, and everything's good now. Thanks, I'm Miss Appleby.
Jesus.
B plus.
But, like, so how many episodes of this show has the theoretical lesson, I'm not going to say actual lesson, the theoretical lesson been be true to yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, like, a bunch, like, of them. But the problem is that
it's
they're
also
lying.
Constantly undermined by how they react to Bulk and Skull. Like, be true to yourself as long as it's within socially acceptable norms.
They say Bulk and Skull, you know, quickly pipe up, of course, with, oh, Miss Appleby, what if you don't have anything wrong with you? And she gives them this look like, you motherfuckers are flawed as hell. Don't even play like that.
She literally.
If no one will tell you there's anything wrong with you, come talk to me. I'll give you some shit.
Yeah, she literally says, come to me and I will help you figure something out, which.
Yep.
Oh God! Like,
right? like you guys mentioned later in the episode, they're gonna say that they're happy the way they are, and that is the realest shit this show has ever like yep. put forward.
Yep. Right, and they laugh it off, like, "Oh, these clowns are delusional."
But Power Rangers yeah. always does this. Like last week, we had an or 2 weeks ago, we had an episode where the lesson was be yourself. You don't have to live up to your cousin, Kimberly. Yep. Except that then what she does is lives up to her cousin, Kimberly. Like,
right.
Yep.
So it's, yeah. There
it's, and I don't think anyone's heard to say, like, self-improvement is a bad thing.
No, no, no.
The way it frames it is so shitty.
Yeah, their heart's in the right place, as always. It's just like the race stuff in this show. Like, they're trying, but then they give Zach hip-hop keto.
They're bad at it.
Yeah, exactly.
They're bad at all of it.
Yeah, they're doing their best, but they're just bad at it. Like, it, yeah. yeah. So, yeah.
Power Rangers, when doing your best just isn't good enough.
So, yeah, like you said, Mitchell, at this point, they're like, well, what about us? And, yeah, Miss Appleby says, don't worry, I'll get you something. And that ends the class. Oh, yep. Oh, sorry. Tommy leans over to Bulk and Skull, says, if you really get stuck, I'll help you out. And Bulk's like, you'll be lucky you remember what the assignment is. You have serious brain damage. Like,
man, this episode is just everybody being dicks to everybody.
It's yep. like, so something about this episode is that a lot of these episodes are about dealing with small character flaws. Zach is scared of bugs.
Right.
You know, Trini is scared of heights. Kimberly has a bad day and just needs to get over it and move on. But the level...
she had a bad day! Okay, sorry.
No, what's the next line?
I don't actually know.
Had a bad day, guys. Had a bad day. That's the song, right?
That's the whole song.
The entirety of it.
You say you don't know.
Can I tell you something?
That's Tommy singing every song.
I've only heard that song in the first CGI Alvin and the Chipmunks movie, so I only know the high-pitched version of that.
Follow-up question.
Go ahead.
Why?
Why did I watch the Chipmunk movie?
I feel like I don't need to elaborate.
I mean, why not? We're all just wasting time until we die. Like, what do you want from me?
That is the most ringing endorsement for that movie I have ever heard.
It'll bring you 2 hours closer to the sweet embrace of death.
Yeah, it'll get you there. It'll get you
we're
there.
We're all going to die someday. Watch the Chipmunks. Eat Arby's, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Eat at Arby's. So what I was saying, sorry, is that they've got all these little character flaws, but the level to which they take this one with Tommy, like, this is a problem. This is a serious issue that he needs help with.
Well, I think it's on par with Kimberly's bad day.
I guess Kimberly's bad day was like cartoonish.
Remember when Kimberly's bad luck resulted in the gods trying to smite her with lightning?
Yeah, that's true. That was ridiculous. But yeah, so they're trying to show this.
Kimberly's lucky she got out of that one alive.
They're trying to show this little character flaw, and it's literally like later on, we'll see it in just a second. It's so bad that he can't like operate as a human being. So. And they've never mentioned it before. It's the combination of the extremeness of it and the fact that it's never been brought up. And my guess, stick with me here, is that they'll never mention it again. Weird.
Nope.
No.
Yeah, probably. But also, like, not only does this go so far as to, like, call his ability to just do basic day-to-day functioning into question, it calls into question his ability to be a superhero.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Like, he literally, to be a superhero, there is an object he has to have on him at all times.
Well, he routinely fails to do that, so...
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's conveniently an object that you can strap to yourself and just leave it there all the time.
The smart way to have done this would be that he's so focused and stressing about the superheroing that he's letting other stuff in his life slip, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
That would make
sense.
They
didn't do that, though.
This show bends over backwards to avoid talking about the downsides of being a Power Ranger.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, sometimes once in a great while, we'll just get an offhanded comment of like, oh man, I guess Rita's just getting to me. I need to get a little more sleep. Yeah. But there's no like just, oh god, I can't take it. I can't take being on call 24/7 to this magical fucking space head. I can't do it, man. I just can't do it.
My eyes, the putties are there. The putties, they gobble.
Basically, yeah, if they turned it up 10% more, this would be like, they would be in constant PTSD, right? But because it's a kid's show, there's just these offhanded mentions of how rough it is. So we cut up to the moon, and I like this part because Reed is like, fuck, he knew he had to have something wrong with him. Jesus. Like,
because Tommy's been so perfect until now.
Well, I mean, Tommy has his big character flaw that we read into a little bit, but fighting wise, she has never been able to crack this nugget.
She's like, dude, have you seen his Chrono Trigger speedrun times? How are we supposed to deal with this kid?
It's a phenomenon. Speaking of crack this nugget, I didn't quite follow Rita's logic from, oh, I've identified Tommy's flaw, now I'll capitalize it. Capitalize on it by turning my buddies into rangers, of course.
This is a good point, and honestly, this is how bad this show is. I didn't notice. But she has done this before. She has definitely gone, there are cousins in town. Let's send a monster. Like, she definitely does that all the time. Go ahead, Mike.
I honestly forgot what I was going to say.
Okay, well, let's move on then. Yeah, she's...
Oh, that's what it was. You talked about how, she's never managed to beat Tommy as far as, like, just basic combat before. She totally has.
Yep.
Like, the putties subdue him all the time.
Yep, that's true.
He finds a way out of it because they don't just fucking kill him like they should. But, like, yeah, he gets like, tied up and all that shit constantly.
So, at this point, Rita says, all right, go to the dungeons and get me the Badges of Darkness. which...
Now, she does not say go to the dungeon. She says go to the basement.
Oh, she says dungeon. I'm looking at it right now.
Did I literally imagine her saying basement?
Well, the subtitles, I don't have it on, the sound on, but the subtitles say dungeon. Maybe she says basement. That'd be pretty good.
Well, now I got to pull it back up.
Okay. So while you do that, Goldar says, yes, those will turn them into duplicate Power Rangers. You gotta love how many MacGuffins Rita has for her ultimate plans that she just doesn't use for whatever reason.
You know what would have gone great with this is like when they stole every citizen in Angel Grove.
Yeah, that'd been a good time to do that.
You know what would have been really great with bad Power Rangers is a bad Megazord.
Like, you light the green candle, you use the Badges of Darkness, you steal every citizen, you steal those eggs, you just do everything at the same time. One episode, one plan, every monster at the same time, kill the Power Rangers,
done. She can't really multitask. She has exactly one competent henchman.
Yeah, a month off and just crank monsters out of the Monstermatic.
And then use them all at once. Yep. Just put them up in your weird hotel and you'll be fine. So we cut down to the
Hold on. Can we take a moment to imagine Rita's weird hotel for a moment?
We already have. Remember when she comes, when her palace came down to Earth, it was attached to a hotel.
The
for
underground
no
skyscraper that's buried in the moon.
Yeah.
what do you think the rooms
says,
are
go
like
to the dungeons.
There?
I just heard basement because I wanted it to be true so
you
bad.
You just wanted it to be basement so badly?
But hold on. Wow. I want to talk about these fucking hotel rooms. Like, okay. Do you think they get like putty room service?
They deliver putty food from the putty restaurant.
We saw the terrible. Skyscraper had windows. Do they just get like a view of like moon dirt?
Uh-huh. Yep. Like Mitchell, sorry, what did you say?
Oh no, nothing of importance.
Okay. Well, that's everything
it's like
we say.
It's like cartoons
but...
where someone opens up the blinds and there's just a brick wall behind the window.
Right. Exactly.
Nice.
So we cut back down to the Gym and Juice Bar, and Tommy and Jason are sparring as they often do, and Tommy's a little bit off his game, and Jason's like, "What's wrong? You know, am I getting better? Or are you getting worse?" And Tommy says, "I'm just like really distracted by this assignment." Also, apparently he hasn't figured out that he's forgetful.
No,
because he says, "I'm supposed to." first he says, can I have a sip of your water? I forgot mine. Also, can I use your towel? I forgot mine. Anyway, what's my biggest fault?
Well, Tommy, it's that you never shut the fuck up about Chrono Trigger.
Okay, Luke, this is killing me. I know that Chrono Trigger is a running gag that you like bringing up, but this aired 2 years before Chrono Trigger came out. There's no way he could be playing it. You can still keep doing that joke. I just had to say it. Continue.
We never realized that. So
Luke, you just got fucking roasted. Holy shit.
So,
well, see, it might have aired then, but it came out, like this takes place centuries, if not millennia, after Chrono Trigger came out.
Oh, right, sure. Yeah.
Wait, it takes place centuries after Chrono Trigger?
Fossilized Super
it's
Nintendo.
In Chrono Trigger canon?
All right, let's move on.
But also, so how many diseases do you think, Tommy's getting from sharing Jason's water bottle and towel?
All of them? All of them.
Trying to call... Jason,
why do you think Jason
boy?
Has diseases that Tommy can catch?
Well, he's just a petri dish because he's borrowing everybody's towel. There's no way he ever brings a towel.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, sure.
Wait.
Point of order. He doesn't use Jason's towel. He asks if he brought a spare, and Jason, being a bro, always has a spare for Tommy.
You're right.
Because he knows his boy has terrible memory.
And he brought an extra towel, and it's green.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
teal. But no, yeah,
it's bluish.
But you know Jason's towel
it
is
could
red.
Could work for Billy or Tommy.
He's using a teal towel. What are you talking about, Zach?
Is he really? Oh, fuck. I missed it.
Are you the one with memory problems?
Yes. You got me.
It's just confusing when the Rangers use something that isn't color-coded.
Yeah.
Although the water bottle that he hands Tommy is red, and it kind of looks like a ketchup bottle, which makes it a little...
Jason only drinks ketchup. Trini only drinks mustard. Tommy's a relish guy.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. What condiment is Billy way into?
Blueberry jam?
Okay.
Zach, motor oil, of course.
Oh, I was going to say soy sauce, but motor oil works, sure.
I was going to say Vegemite for Zach. He seems like a Vegemite
gross.
Guy.
He's got a proprietary blend that Zordon whips up.
Nice and salty.
Oh, Jesus. Well, that one's for our Australian listeners. I guess Mike likes Vegemite for some reason.
Hell no, I don't.
Oh, okay. So, Jason is a buddy, though, because he says, are you sure you want me to tell you, your big problem? Which, that's fair. I wouldn't want to...
And Tommy says, yeah, bro, tell me.
He says, we're bros.
Yeah.
We're bros. And Jason's thinking, I've told him this, 50 fucking times.
He says, yeah, you know, the problem is you always forget shit. So they,
which to be fair, that's not a terrible truth about yourself to have thrown back in your face. It could have been gone way worse there.
Way worse.
Well, you know, you keep interrupting people. No one really likes you, Tommy. That would have been devastating.
Right. And if it was,
I feel like this, because we already know this is not actually a problem he has all the time. He's just having a bad day. I feel like Jason had a lot of things to say there, and he just jumped on the fact that Tommy's being a forgetful Frank today.
Yeah. So he cuts over to, or it cuts over, and he's talking, Tommy is talking to Kimberly and Trini, and he's like, man, I never thought of myself as forgetful. Is that true? And this is great because they use this to retcon in this as no, he's always been this way. Because Trini and Kimberly are like, oh yeah, man, you fucking couldn't, if your ass wasn't bolted on.
I wanted so badly for Kimberly to be like, yeah, Tommy, you forgot that we're dating.
Yeah. Remember that thing?
You forgot that you went to the
school
for a while.
Have an entire drawer full of clothes you forgot in my place,
so,
Tommy.
So she says, they say, yeah, you know, you are. And he says, fuck, I guess I've forgotten all the times I forgot things, which, wow. Dude, this is bad. This is...
And then he pauses for a laugh. Come on, guys.
And nobody laughs. Yep.
Come on.
So.
And then they offer to help him out. And then Trini says, don't worry, we'll make it memorable.
Dude, I was going to ask, is this just I don't know if that was a usual female Ranger thing, but do they, that's very suggestive.
Right? I agree.
I know, right?
Oh, I didn't even really.
There's a subtext there. Yeah, my girlfriend said the same thing. She's like, wait, are they going to have a threesome? Is that what's being implied here?
Kind of share a look. They're like, and Tommy's doing his in between.
I was just surprised to see Trini make an attempt at a memorable kind of joke line.
I feel like Tommy, is the kind of guy who, like, and I'm about to throw shade on something that I am absolutely guilty of. But I feel like Tommy is the kind of guy who, like, a girl invites him over to spend the night, and he's like, I'll just be on this couch now. Yeah. I'll just sleep here. And she's like, you fucking moron.
Well, I thought you were going more along the lines of, he's the kind of guy that women find very attractive because, I mean, he's fucking Jason David Frank, but, like, he doesn't realize when he's being flirted
with.
No,
that's what I'm saying. That's kind of, I'm saying they tried to initiate a threesome. He would not pick up on it. Like, it would be.
You have to actually just grab him by the junk and be like, dude, seriously.
Give me this.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
Give me.
So.
Give me this.
It's like that one band commercial, just babies.
So at this point, we cut to a putty training montage.
Uh-huh. Yep. It's beautiful.
This is magical. This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
It's very good.
Oh, man. So. Yeah, we've got them literally... Go ahead, Mike, why don't you...
So Goldar's thing is, all right, putties, we're going to turn you into evil rangers, but you got to earn it. So fucking show me what you got.
Yep. So the training consists of, first, one of the putties seems to be holding some kind of red paddle, and the other putties have to, like, tumble towards it and kick it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
know these are like a karate class. Those are a thing.
Yeah, I recognize it from my Taekwondo days.
Yep. Then they kind of spin jump, and there's like they keep seeing one of the putties keeps fucking up every move, and Goldar calls him putty number 6, and he's like kind of talking shit at him. It's,
and well, the others gets called number 3, so apparently all the putties have a number.
Yep.
But like, it only counts up to 6. Like, are these just the?
Yep.
Okay. Do they?
are those the first 6 putties?
That's what I think is like, because we just keep assuming that the putties just die and get replaced. But are these just the same putties week in and week out?
I don't think so. I think these are the ones they made for this week.
They just renumber them with each new batch.
Because, I mean, the Putty Bowl restaurant implies there are more putties than what fight the ranger.
Yeah.
And there are times when they don't get zapped away, they just run off into the wilderness.
Mitchell, in case you weren't following, there's a restaurant that the putties run that I guess serves other putty. We never really figured that part out.
They've mentioned it offhand as if that's not a thing that needs to be questioned and then never mention it again. So
Putty
restaurant.
Yeah. He's training these putties, which like
Goldar's training consists of having them run these drills. And then his only instruction is shouting, good. No!
Yep.
No!
Train better.
Good!
He makes special care to call out putty number 6 for fucking up constantly.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then at the end of this training montage, he gives out these discs that have pentagrams on them, which is a pretty nice touch, which are the discs of... What are they called? Something...
They're like the mutant morphers or something.
Something of darkness, badges of darkness.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah.
And he, except for putty number 6, who he murders or sends back.
Yep.
He says he gets
sentenced to death instead.
Yeah. Yeah, he says you're going to be a clay pot on Rita's coffee table.
Yeah. And
then he goes,
that's
see ya.
And instead of getting
fucked up,
instead of getting another putty. To like train and give the red badge of darkness to, he just breaks it.
No one's good enough. Goldar's got high standards, and he seemed to suggest. I think he had a line of dialogue stating that these were like the best putties.
Yeah,
seemed to be like this is like y'all are the best we've got, and so this is what we've got going on.
This idea, that Goldar doesn't fucking use it himself, like...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Is weird, but B, the idea that he would just smash this thing that is apparently supposed to be super valuable and powerful. Like, Goldar, you're supposed to be the one person who knows what the fuck he's doing. Come on.
Yep.
It's the train. You should watch the training montage if you don't normally watch the episodes with us.
It's very good, and
it's magical.
Putty number 6. I have to say, like, whenever they were doing their training, and he begins sort of just flopping around and crab walking. And it didn't look that different, really, from how the Rangers and putties usually fight.
Oh, no, because the putties are already weird interpretive dancers. Like, so then this one... go ahead.
Like, I felt so bad for putty number six.
Yeah.
It makes you really sad that, like, the putty arts don't get enough funding. Because, you know, he has a calling. It's not to fight the Rangers. And I don't think it's to be a clay pot on Rita's desk.
Yeah, I think I think putty number six had a bright future in some kind of, you know, like, liberal arts college.
Yeah.
But it is tragically cut short, unfortunately. Oh, God. But yeah, him just, the putty just flopping around on the ground is definitely worth watching. So he breaks all these things, or sorry, just the red one, I guess. And then we cut down to, or he says it's mutant time, and they all morph. And they just look like the Power Rangers, except they still have putty arms.
They have gray gloves and
boots. Yeah, gray gloves and boots. So they cut back to the Jim and Juice bar, and Balk and Skull, again, I like this, but it is a weird change. Balk and Skull are just, like, chilling with them at the table, which is not how this relationship usually goes.
Wait, were they really just sitting at the table with them?
They,
I thought they walked
they walk up.
Up.
I mean, they walk in but, and start okay. talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought they sat down, which would have been
They're standing at the bottom of that, like, step.
Yeah.
It's, like, divides the... Juice bar in half.
Yeah, you're right. I'm wrong. So in any case, they are like, you know, hey Dork, could you fix your memory or whatever? And this is the part we talked about earlier, where they say, "Well, have you picked out what you're gonna fix?" And they say, "We like how we are."
Yeah.
And Trini.
Yeah, go, Balk and Skull. You be you. And, you be true to yourselves, goddammit.
And Trini, who is supposed to be the sweetheart, and is most of the time, goes, "Oh, so you don't consider being rude and obnoxious bad qualities?" Fuck, Trini. Jeez, like, way to cut it down. Just, oh.
Yeah.
So she says, "Just once I'd like to see you two dress and act like gentlemen." Oh, I'm sorry, that's Kimberly who says that. And again, they're like, "We like the way we are." And Trini's like, "Well, I guess," Tommy is like, "Well, guess you'll just get an F on your assignment." And then he threatens them, kind of, because he says, "I bet Mr. Kaplan would love that," who is, again, the principal who gives them detention constantly for getting bad grades, which is not how detention works, but I guess it's how it works here. So they're literally telling him, "You're going to get detention or get in trouble if you don't change the way that you are, which you have stated that you enjoy." Great. Good lesson, Power Rangers.
Become a different person or suffer.
Oh, boy. This episode flubs its lesson just a smidge. So, yeah, we cut back to the moon, and Rita is talking to Goldar. Goldar says, "We're ready." And he says...
Yeah, and she's looking at Goldar and the mutant rangers through her telescope, and the angle that she's looking at them is weird because
she's staring at Goldar's
dick. She's looking
at
the rangers first, and then she pans over to Goldar, and she seems to be looking at him from below, and like below crotch level through her telescope that's on the moon.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't really consider that.
I spent too much time thinking about this shot and how much it doesn't make sense.
No, I thought about it a lot, too.
I did, too. Yeah. Are they standing like... Are they placed on just the crest of the horizon of the Earth from where the moon is?
That's the only way it makes sense.
Yeah, I guess. Yep. That's the only place they could be, right?
Well, it's a magic telescope. My thing is more that she is up codpiecing Goldar in this shot. But, you know, whatever.
You know what? That's the real reason Goldar is sick of Rita's shit. It is the fucking sexual harassment.
And there's no HR on the moon, so he can't complain.
HR on the moon.
Rita has been treating him inappropriately, and he is fed up.
Luke, I'm glad I got you with that one. So, this point, Rita's like, "All right, good, attack them. At least those two." And, like, specifically Tommy and Kimberly, I guess.
Yep.
And instead of sending down the whole troop of evil rangers, they just send evil Tommy and evil Kimberly. I mean,
it has to be one-on-one.
That's just evil 101. Like, you've got to do it that way. I have to point out something, which is that I think the American fight scenes are generally just as good as the Japanese ones. Yeah. This is a bad fight scene.
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? Well, I don't know. It's
I feel exactly the opposite. I feel like the American ones are usually garbage, but this one's okay.
Well, okay. I guess for me specifically, there's a shot of the pink evil ranger facing off with Kimberly that just looks really stiff. I'm rewatching it now, though. And
okay, yeah, the evil pink ranger kind of sucks, but the evil whoever the stunt person doing the evil green ranger is doing okay. Like the Tommy v fake green ranger fight is.
I revise my opinion. You are correct. That is true.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the fact that Tommy is wearing ninja shoes?
Yeah, he just is.
Did anyone else notice?
Yeah, I did.
When Tommy gets knocked down, he is wearing those ninja shoes that have the toe separated from the rest of the big toe separated from the rest of the toes. That's just the shoes that Tommy wears.
Uh-huh. Well, that's sensible footwear where you know a kung fu fight could erupt.
That is a good point.
So, yeah.
It's just something crazy I didn't notice until this episode. I don't know if he's wearing them before, but this is the first time I have noticed. And it's... Wow. I mean, way to be prepared, I guess, Tommy.
He's already starting his costume for, like, a whole season from now when they get the ninja powers,
I guess. He has to get each piece separately. They're very expensive.
Yep.
It's a pretty basic fight, but there's a lot of fantastically stupid dialogue in it.
Yes.
Like, like evil Kimberly telling real Kimberly, it's like fighting a mirror, isn't it? just the zoom in on Jason David Frank's face as he says, man... These guys are hardcore.
These guys are hardcore.
The absolute favorite line in this for me, the absolute highlight of this entire sequence, is that Kimberly acknowledges that this has happened before.
Yes.
Yep.
She straight up says, wow, Rita's made evil rangers again.
Could not make it to the second season to do the same plot twice.
Yep. Couldn't wait.
Yeah. But that's the weird thing, because like they acknowledge that this has happened twice. Like, I'm pretty sure when they brought back the Pudgy Pig, I think they just pretended it was the first time.
No, they said the Pudgy Pig is back again or something like that.
Yeah, they didn't like try to pretend like it hadn't happened, but they didn't focus on it.
She's just paraphrasing what like the Saban scriptwriters said when they got the footage back from Jutu. It's like, oh wow, Evil Rangers again, huh?
I did feel borderline parody of Power Rangers with that dialogue. I can't believe they did it again.
Yes, yeah. This kind of, if you were gonna make a riff tracks of a Power Rangers episode in terms of just making fun of all of Power Rangers, this would be a good one. It's got all it is a microcosm of all the dumb shit this show does. And also the reasons it's fun, but last thing before we move on from this fight scene, it's time for another installment of bad subtitle theater.
Oh yeah, okay. All right.
Because let's put it back there. The name of this song is Call the 541.
Yeah, and they keep saying all to fight for one.
Yes, not close. Yeah. That said, who could care except me?
I mean, call the 541. What the fuck does that mean? Is that the number of the Power Rangers?
No, it's their area code. I know the answer to this because I read an interview with Ron Wasserman where somebody asked him because that's the kind of guy I am. So you know, he said it was a play on like one for all and all for one. Type thing. Okay. So 5-4-1 because there's five rangers.
But there are only two rangers in this scene.
Yes. So not great.
that's not his fault.
Yeah, they reuse these. So so just bad subtitles. This fight is a fun fight scene.
They seem to present it at the end as though like the Rangers had been totally bested by the Putty Rangers, but it seems like they're kind of fighting pretty equally, and then Tommy just falls down, and then Kimberly biffs a flip real hard.
Uh-huh.
They're like, oh,
Yeah, and they're like, oh, God, they're so tough. And then, as always happens in this fucking show,
they just leave.
They just leave. The bad guys just leave. And Tommy's like, they know all our moves. We better call Zordon.
Our moves.
Cut up to the moon. Good job, Goldar. Yeah, good job having them run away when they could have murdered them, but whatever.
Yep.
You got to know when to throw that fish back.
Yeah. What's funny about you saying it that way is because the first time I noticed that they did this was on a fish monster episode where he just jumped into the water and said later.
Bye-bye.
But yeah, so we cut to the command center, and they are looking at them in the viewing globe. All of them standing together in a field, which I guess is happening now, or...
Yeah, well, that's the scene from earlier when Goldar was with them, so...
Yeah,
I guess,
sure.
I don't know.
So it's stock footage. It's it's archival footage.
Yep.
So they're like, oh man, we couldn't even put a scratch on them. Jason asks why there's no red one, which is a good question.
That's a good question.
Why did I get an evil clone?
Yeah. And
well, Tommy didn't get one last time, and it's your turn in the barrel.
Yep.
Oh, I don't want to be in the barrel. Zordon says, oh, I guess he hasn't found a suitable leader for the team. If they do that, we're fucked.
Except not, because Goldar destroyed the badge, so there's just going to be a monster at that point. Which is what is going to happen, actually. So
yeah, and it's also what they fight every fucking week.
Yep.
Okay, so real quick, I forget exactly how this goes down, but at one point Alpha says it makes my tubes tremble.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. He says the idea makes my tubes tremble. Gross.
I kind of started to miss dumb Alpha robot jokes. I feel like it's been a while since we've gotten one of them.
So you really liked this then? You thought it was great?
No, I was just it was comforting to have that again.
Oh, okay.
We had a lot of them near the beginning of the show.
Yeah,
and then they just kind of stopped.
I don't like it. I find that to be a creepy sentence.
I mean, he's talking about vacuum tubes, not like fallopian tubes.
I just don't want to know about his insides. I don't need to know.
Zach, robot anatomy is a beautiful thing. It's not gross. It's the miracle of artificial
life. Am I robo body shaming right now? Should I?
Yeah, you totally are.
So at this point, they're like, okay, well, bye. Like,
they just go about their lives.
Yeah, basically, that's their plan, is to just wait until they attack again and fight real good, I guess.
The plan is always fight real good.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. That is in this. That's number one play in Jason's playbook, is fight real good.
It seems to be vindicated pretty often.
Yeah, it usually works.
Don't fix what ain't broke.
So at this point, we get a very quick scene that does not matter at all, which is that Billy gives Tommy a little device that's like, I don't know, it's a little green thing with a light on it.
It's like a walkie-talkie, but it doesn't connect to anything.
Yeah,
it's
the most
like
conspicuous reminder device ever, because it has a huge red light on it and a big antenna sticking out of it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you need to be
it's
real
like,
obvious.
Warning,
with Tommy.
Time to do your homework.
Yep.
Warning, time to brush your teeth.
And he says, yeah, I made this for you, so you'll remember stuff.
Yep.
How does Billy know so much about Tommy's day-to-day schedule?
Also, that scene is 19 seconds, and then it cuts back to, or it might be shorter than that, and then it cuts back to the command center, and they go, literally Zordon goes, hey, look, a crayfish monster.
Obviously, they've found their candidate.
Which is pretty great. And he goes, oh, I guess they've found the candidate. Well, now we're fucked. The pacing on this episode is bad. It's worse than normal, even.
It was just very good in that it wasn't as though they're like, oh, this crayfish seems to be leading them. They say, oh,
no,
shit.
No.
You see what I see, Alpha? Yep, it's a crayfish. Yep, okay. He's going to lead them.
Zordon also seems to know a lot about Earth animals, which I guess is a running theme. But
yeah, I mean, well, I would have called it a lobster at first sight. So good call on it being crayfish, because as it turns out, its name is Commander Crayfish. So good eye.
I think Zordon knowing that it's a crayfish is maybe the biggest nitpick ever.
Yeah, you might be right. Also,
do they actually?
No, they call it Commander Crayfish.
Commander Crayfish.
Yep.
Very Z level Maverick name.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That is totally a Mega Man X. Maverick boss character. We cut back to Tommy.
Oh, there is very right before that. There's one I didn't write it down. Alpha makes some joke about he can't go fishing anymore. Like, oh, it's never going to be
like this
not
fishing
safe to go
trip
fishing.
Won't be fun, as though any fishing trip is.
And Alpha has Alpha been fishing?
Oh God,
was Alpha going fishing? And who's going to take Alpha fishing?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
man, I. Now I'm just picturing Alpha trying to go fishing, and it's like a fucking Dorf video, except like when he falls in the water, he just kind of shorts out and dies.
Remember the very like second episode where Alpha like had Zach come to the command center to hang out with him. You notice how that never happened again?
Zach learned his lesson.
It seems like nobody really wants to spend that much time with Alpha.
Alpha's totally just dropping hints, like hoping Zordon is going to offer for that fishing trip again. I'd love to get out of the command center.
Yeah. So we see one quick shot of Commander Crayfish with the putties being like, "You've trained good. Now we're going to go fuck them up." And then we get a shot of Tommy getting ribbons tied around his wrist by Kimberly, who says it will help him remember things.
He takes his communicator wand off and sticks it in his locker for her to do this. Now, it's going to turn out he forgets to put it back on, but I think everyone's responsible for this.
Yeah, this is not just his fault. Yeah.
Everyone watches him do this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, this is bullshit. Like, when you tie ribbons to yourself to remember things, you don't put it on your wrist. You tie it around your finger.
Yeah.
That's the whole
thing.
Also,
typically, you don't tie, like, 9 of them of random colors, because that's not going to help. You're just going to...
Zach, have you not... I thought you read the early acts of Homestuck.
Well, he might not have gotten there yet.
I did do that.
He got far enough to give up on it.
Well, listen, I'm sorry, but Tommy is no Jade.
Wait. Tommy's a Green Ranger.
Uh-huh.
Jade Harley uses green text.
Also, her name is Jade. So, but yes. Yes, it is a coincidence, to answer your question.
Are you sure?
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
I don't know. I'm gonna turn to resident Homestuck expert Luke here. Uh-huh. Luke, is the Power Rangers canon in Homestuck or vice versa?
No.
All right.
I mean, I guess given the fact that Homestuck has all the, like, the multi... universe stuff,
I was gonna say, you have the morphing grid like right there, so you so easily could have said yes, but I love that you just said fuck you. No,
Luke, you're usually so game, you're so game for like concocting batshit theories, and the one instance we're doing make me happy, you're just like nah, fuck it.
Alright, so
you know that Tommy's just gonna look at all of those colored ribbons on his wrist and go, "Oh yeah, I'm in the Power Rangers." Okay.
Yeah. He's gonna look at it and go, "What the hell are you?"
Or like, "I support gay rights." Or also, the thing that's bothering me here is that most people, including Tommy, have two wrists, and you could have just used this other wrist for all those ribbons, right? Everyone wins.
It has to go on that one. Yeah. Also,
I guess. All right.
Also, we didn't mention it, but in the last scene and in this scene,
it's his favorite wrist.
Yeah. a lot of people have a favorite wrist.
Yeah. Gross. So in the last scene and this scene, we have people going like literally almost the same line. Well, just don't forget those evil Rangers. And Tommy goes, "Yeah, I'm not. Okay. Like, listen, I know it's bad, but I don't forget that part. Like, it's okay, I got it."
Are you sure, Tommy? Like, we just want to be sure. Like, you remember Evil Rangers, right? Just
listen. It's really important, because they're going to try to kill us. Like, they're going to try to murder us, so don't forget.
Yeah, they're going to take their swords and they're going to put them in our bodies, and our bodies don't like that sort of thing.
Cool, do my homework.
Okay, okay, good, got it. All right. Someone just starts listing things that he can remember, that like just things that he could maybe need to remember. Oh, no, it's the device that malfunctions, and right, just starts listing off everything. And he goes, oh, shit, my homework, and he runs away.
Yep.
And which leaves, we're not helping. We're making this worse.
Yeah, which leads all the other Rangers to get a call from Zordon and say, okay, well, let's go get him. Loudly shout morphing time in the middle of the school hallway.
Well, no. He runs off, and they say, what about Tommy? You go, well, he's not answering his thing, so don't worry. We'll get with him later. Like, he just left. We could go get him. Nah.
Yeah, he's just down the hall. Like, yep. You could just, like, turn and go, like, hey, Tommy.
Yeah, also, Luke, to your thing earlier about, like, them always subtly hinting about how much it sucks to be a Power Ranger, when it goes off, Tommy, or Jason says, like, man, I'm never excited to hear this thing, or something to that effect.
Yeah, he says, like, boy, I never thought that I'd be excited about this, because they're talking about how they wish Rita would just attack so they could deal with this situation instead of making them sit in suspense.
So normally he's living in existential dread that his communicator is going to go off and he's going to have to go fight monsters. Right. So
listen.
Yeah.
Have you? I can relate. It's tough being a Red Ranger.
So they scream, it's morphin' time in school, and teleport away to go fight. Which like, normally they're at least...
Who hasn't yelled, it's morphin' time in a crowded space?
Fair.
In a universe where the Power Rangers exist, I imagine, like, you scream, you know, you act like Power Rangers really often. Like, they're just a big part of pop culture, right?
Here's the thing, no one should know the phrase, it's morphin' time, because that means they're fucked and everyone knows who they are.
Yeah. Also, most people probably wouldn't teleport away in streaks of colored light dressed as Power Rangers right after yelling it.
Most people.
Well, maybe not you.
Only truly dedicated fans would.
Just because we haven't seen any other residents of Angel Grove do this doesn't mean that they don't.
That's true. You can't
recreational
ride it off.
Teleportation is all the rage in Angel Grove these days.
All right. Well, that would actually explain why they aren't so worried about it most of the time. But
casual, like, teleporters, like, call their hobby?
Porters?
Porting?
No, porter is a different thing.
Porter's taken?
Yeah. Do you even port?
Do you port? Check out my sweet port rig.
Oh, gross.
No, it has to be more esoteric, like jumping.
Okay. Yeah, I got some new jump
like the
juice
movie
in.
Jumper.
Yeah.
With Hayden Christensen.
All right.
Is that what we're like referencing slip. Now?
Now that
I'm gonna slip on down to the juice bar.
Now that I've remembered that jumping exists or jumper exists, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Oh, sliders too, sliders.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Unfortunately, Mitchell had to step out because we continue to have just horrible scheduling. I'm sorry, but
I mean,
it's okay.
That was my fault. We got started like an hour late because of my weird microphone shit.
Yeah, so. But it's okay. Well, we will get this shit locked down, and we're going to continue on.
I ordered a new headset, listener, so my
stuff going
probably sounds like garbage this week, but hopefully next week it'll be better.
It's okay. So, moving on, we get to the fight, and at this point, we have our putties morph again, which we get a little more, like, extended sequence of their morphing. And you can very clearly see the pentagrams on their morphers, which is, I guess, because Rita's a witch. That's
sure.
The whole
deal. I mean,
deal.
She works
for
great Satan in Jumanji.
Right, and she works for the devil. And I know pentagrams aren't really satanic symbols, but
why they're there, though.
Right, yeah. So they morph. We didn't mention it the first time. They showed up, but the evil putties talk.
Oh yeah, yeah. And they like they're 80-yard with the Rangers just doing evil voices.
Doing really bad evil voices.
I love them.
Does Tommy, does Evil Tommy get any lines?
Yeah.
I think he does.
So, but he doesn't
talk
like...
whole, like, Kimberly Tommy fight. Yeah.
But he doesn't talk like Evil Tommy in the Green Ranger saga, which was just shitty Tommy.
Right.
He just does, he does this really bad, deep voice, and it, oh boy. It's funny. That's for sure.
they sound like a Dungeon Master sounds when he's like, your party encounters an orc, and he says... Oh, adventurers, where are you going? This is what they sound like.
You must gather your party before venturing forth.
Yep.
Man, so, okay, so weird tangent, but I caught up on the Adventure Zone recently, and now I really, really want to hear Zordon talk about Gerblins.
Gerblins?
Yeah.
I want, Zordon's voice is just so, like, almost nothing done to it. It's just that filter, but hearing him... because of how stiltedly he speaks, whenever he says anything that's like approaching the way a normal person talks, it's always funny as hell. So to have him just start saying Gerblins, like, yes, I would love to have Zordon be my DM. He'd be terrible at it.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't
tell you about anything until after it had already killed you.
Oh, yeah. Zordon would be that DM who, like, you walk into a room and you're trying to solve a puzzle for an hour, and then he's like, oh, I forgot to tell you there's this other piece in the room.
I could swear we have already
forgot to tell
done
you,
this
you died to
a
gelatinous
a
cube
question.
The instant you walked in.
Have we done this bit already?
I'm pretty sure we have.
As we mount the episodes, it's going to be harder to remember. Yeah. Like Tommy. So let's go back to this. They're fighting. There's some smack talk on the part of the Putty Rangers. It's not great, but, you know, it's got that funny deep voice. They smack talk each other for a while. Then they fight. And at some point during the fight,
a sword. Let's mention this because this is pretty funny.
Because how is he holding it?
It's claw, just in its pincer right there.
He's just holding a sword in his pincer.
Only so they can mirror how everyone is fighting their double with their weapons, and Jason has to fight the crawfish. So the crawfish needs a sword, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So which instead of
was- I know we've kind of established that, like, their reasoning for the Jutu footage is always just kind of, fuck it. But the Red Ranger's gonna be a crab man.
I mean, they're red, I guess. No, they aren't really. That's just the cartoon versions.
Yeah,
so
they only turn red when they're cooked.
Yeah,
whatever.
So who knows? But my favorite thing that happens in this is they pull out a fucking... power blaster.
What?
Yeah. Like, where did this come from? And, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped the part where,
Well, no, we're not gonna skip over the amazing thing that happens when they come back to the command center. Don't worry about that.
Okay, so Tommy finally returns to his locker and gets the call from Zordon. He transforms. When he teleports to the fight, it becomes really apparent that the Green Ranger, evil Green Ranger, had not been in the fight yet.
Yep.
And the crayfish is like, oh, now we'll have him come out.
Yep.
There is
just
one nice...
standing there waiting for his turn. It's like, oh, no Green Ranger to fight. I don't have anything to do here.
Yeah, there is one nice touch, which is that the evil Rangers all have the weapons of their counterparts.
Yep.
But
they're like shitty clay versions of
it. Right. But the evil Green Ranger actually has the like Sword of Darkness or whatever it was the Green Ranger saga, which is kind of cool. They fight a little bit more. And then I got it wrong. At this point, the evil Rangers make a power blaster.
Yep.
And they blast the shit out of the Rangers, who go, oh, God, and teleport back to the command center. Then the dumbest thing in the universe happens.
Yep.
So they are told... Go ahead, Simon, you want to do
that? Yeah, so Zordon says... Well, okay, hang on, I'm a little behind. I want to know exactly what he says, because it's pretty good. In order to defeat...
It's important.
Okay, Alpha has prepared these in case of such an emergency, because they can't fight the evil Rangers. And their weapons just teleport into their hands. It's like, okay... Zach says, these look just like our old ones.
Yeah.
And Zora says, they may look the same, but trust me, this is some heavy-duty artillery.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's Alpha that says that.
Yeah.
But wait. They just had weapon upgrades lying around.
Yep.
And didn't give them to the Rangers ever.
No,
they
and
just got
not
better
allowed
weapons.
To escalate. I don't know how hard this is.
Well, my favorite part is that that must mean that they made two identical versions of the power weapons.
Yeah.
But there's a set of plus one weapons that they just got.
Like, I really, really thought that later on they were going to be like, yeah, those were just your normal weapons. The real power was in you all along.
You nope. literally thought they were going to Space Jam them? They were going to Michael's secret stuff this episode.
but they don't.
Of all the examples of that trope, your first example that sprang to mind was fucking Space Jam.
I mean, is that at all
cinematic
surprising?
Masterpiece Space Jam.
I really like Space Jam.
No, but they don't do that. So this is a permanent upgrade that they get. They get a whole set of new weapons that are identical in every way to their old weapons on episode 59 out of 60 of the first season.
So, given that this is a show to sell toys,
that's
extra confusing, right? Wouldn't they look different so you have to go buy the new toys?
Do you think they repackaged the old weapons and, like, with the new package it said, this is the new weapons of the Power Rangers?
These are better, trust us, on the back it says that? Yeah. Good point, Luke.
I want to see that in, like, the toy packaging font with, like, the starburst around it. These are better, trust us.
Yeah. I mean, Luke, you're right. Of course it's because that was in the Sentai footage. But why was that in the Sentai footage? Or more importantly, why is that the English script they chose to place on it?
Right, so I'm saying, like, there's nothing in the Sentai footage that suggests that's an upgraded power blaster.
There's no reason that they couldn't have had, like, why don't you use your weapons, dumb shits, and then teleport them into their hands. But no, we have to have upgrades that are pointless. Like, it's just crazy to me that was the... I can't believe they gave them new weapons that looked exactly the same. But, okay, sure.
Yep.
So, then we teleport back to the fight, and we fight some more.
Yep.
There's a lot of fighting in this episode. I feel like the U2 episodes have had more fights overall.
I feel like there's, I guess because it's custom footage, quote-unquote, like, there's a lot less, like, shots that they just can't use because they have the Japanese non-suited actors in them.
Right, yeah, that makes sense.
They don't have quite as many giant Japanese kids to hide in that footage.
God, I still can't believe we missed that. That one.
Yeah, how the fuck did we not notice that the first time?
That is our
biggest goof up. Holy shit.
So now we have a weapon fight. My favorite part of which is the Pink Ranger leaping through the air at Evil Pink Ranger and both of them just shooting each other in the chest, which is pretty great. And then the Evil Rangers go to assemble their power blaster. The Good Rangers do the same thing. And we have a good old-fashioned DBZ off, which
but
the Good Rangers
win. But
they just
got the new ones, so...
Right.
Is that the reason for the scene? They needed their power blaster to be stronger than the other one? And they couldn't just say, well, there's this fake because it's the fucking badges and their putties. They had to say, well, you get these new ones that look exactly the same but are better.
Listen, Simon, you're questioning it way too hard, okay?
All right.
That's what we do here. Like,
I guess,
like,
I'm not the person to throw.
Like,
I'm not
Zach,
the person
if,
to throw shade on that, huh?
Like, if you're done with overanalyzing Power Rangers, like, this podcast is basically
done
over.
With,
like,
this podcast.
We almost got to the finish line of season one, at least, like, the first check mark, and we just gave up.
No, you're right. You're right.
What if we did just give up now?
No, Luke.
Well, let's do it. Let's just give up.
But we're so close.
You gave up on Morphag Newsnimal unceremoniously and without asking the rest of us.
I thought...
Because you're a quitter, Tommy.
Oh, no. I thought Golden Minute was better. What'd I call it? I made up a thing. I don't remember what it was. So
Golden Week.
You broke my heart, Zach. You broke my heart.
I'm sorry, buddy. Luke, we can't give up. We're so close. We can give up after episode 60. But
I think it'd be way funnier to just give up now.
Just record 59 fucking episodes of the Power Rangers podcast and then just go, eh.
Yeah, that's right. Let's close on audio entropy while we're at it. Fuck all the other ones and
fuck it.
Yeah. Just the final upload is just a picture of me doing double middle fingers at the audience.
Yeah. Just like let's just barely start to like gain a following and then just like shit all over them.
So we disappoint like some people. Not a ton.
Not even an impressive amount of people, just a small fan base.
It's not worth starting something disappoint people when you stop.
All right, so Luke has talked us into quitting, so no, we're not doing that.
We need to do the rest of this episode. Good night, everybody.
No, stop.
So, stay tuned. There's a pretty cool crotch shot coming up in a few minutes.
Yeah, we can't miss out on
that.
Yeah,
that's true.
So at this point, they grow the monster. The power blaster knocks the evil pink and yellow rangers away from everybody. So that when they grow, Luke, I felt so bad. Because they grow all the Power Rangers, the evil Power Rangers.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, all of them.
I don't think they did.
Except for the pink and yellow ones.
They grow all the males in the scene.
Yeah, they grow the green.
Look, I mean, these aren't the real Rangers. They're putties.
Oh,
they're
no, listen, I know. Anyway. I don't care. But
Luke,
also...
Luke, does it make you feel any better that the lobster also grew?
It does not.
No, the lobster doesn't do anything for you, no?
Are you sure? They wouldn't have done anything for me even if they had grown the pink and yellow ranger. I just think it's hilarious.
That this show...
just won't leave me alone.
Yeah, this show is actively fighting
you.
Just
made to disappoint your fetishes. Uh-huh. Like, 23 years ago, they said, someday there will be a podcast with someone who fetishizes giant women. We should fuck with him.
We should never let there be a giant woman on screen, no matter what.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, like, Scorpina did it. Turn into a weird monster. They have a perfect setup for it here. They just get blown away and they don't get grown. It's pretty hilarious.
Like it's so weird because like we never find out what happened to the evil pink and yellow rangers.
No, they're just gone.
They may as well. Maybe they just turned back into human forms and like live normal lives. We don't know because
they turned back into putties, wouldn't they?
Well, putty form, normal putty lives, you know.
I guess. Yeah, it's just they're never accounted for again.
Nope. And at this point, we get to watch the Dragonzord fight. I mean, the Dragonzord and the Megazord, but the Megazord's mostly fighting the crayfish. We get to watch the Dragonzord fight the Power Rangers. I mean, they're huge, but it's kind of awesome. I'm sorry, I skipped over the part where they literally do that. What's that game in the pool where you put your friend on your back?
Oh, and chicken.
Yep.
The Rangers pick up the crayfish and run at the Megazord, and the crayfish just kind of whacks at them.
Billy even says, like, oh no, by picking up the crawfish, they've got him out of range of our weapon.
Uh-huh. That makes perfect fucking sense.
What? Yeah.
They don't have any air-to-air capability. They can only aim directly horizontally and down.
Yeah, of course.
That's all their reach.
What Japanese fight choreographer did I piss off in a past life?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then we do get to see this, the Dragonzord fight the Rangers, and there's a bit where...
a bit where we get a close-up of three Power Ranger crotches at once.
Yep.
Yes.
This has to be the episode thumbnail. Thank you.
There's also a bit where Green Ranger shoots a fucking laser blast out of his chest, which is not a thing that he can do. I mean, he's an evil version, so I guess whatever. It's fine.
Didn't he tossed like energy balls out of his sword when he was evil, if I remember right? This is, I guess, another version of that.
Oh, we forgot a sequence where Tommy becomes literally just becomes a Pokemon trainer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he tells Dragon Sword to use Tail Whip.
Dragon Sword, use Tail Whip.
Yep.
And he literally just tells it to use its Tail Whip, and then it Tail Whips the Rangers away. It's pretty great.
Dragon Sword, use your Tail Whip now!
So, yeah, this fight's goofy as shit. Like, it's really goofy. And in a good way, I think. Them just carrying the monster around is so stupid.
I love that, like, the crawfish starts taunting them, like, he's like, yeah, you can't touch us, and we get close-ups of the Rangers, like, kicking the Zords, and like, oh, God, this is bad. And then the Rangers just go like, you know what, fuck it, let's just summon the Ultra Zord, and then they do, and then the crawfish is like, oh, fuck, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Shit!
They
had another robot. Why didn't Rita tell us about this?
I love that they almost win by just doing, like, sequential walking kicks.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite version of the deadly windmill from SNL. They're just the spinning hands. It's so dumb.
Well, it's that thing, you know, in The Simpsons when Bart and Lisa were fighting and Lisa was just kicking and they were just walking towards each other.
Yeah.
That's basically what's going on.
Yeah, it's really stupid. So they get in the Ultra Zord and they fucking blast him. And then
Rita swears to never eat seafood again, I guess. Question mark.
Great, good. Well, she's going to marry into a Jewish family, so it's probably good. No shellfish. Was that racist? I don't think so.
I don't think so?
Okay.
Oh, God. All right. Let's move on.
So now we get our...
You know what? Hold on. Like, if we have any Jewish listeners, does the fact that Lord Zed is explicitly Jewish bother you? I genuinely want to know.
That's a good question, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at this point, we get our resolution of the episode, which is that Tommy didn't fix anything. And,
he's probably going to fail his assignment.
Yeah, and they're just like, no, it's fine. It's fine. We still love you.
It's okay, because what we get instead of an actual resolution is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
So Bulk and Skull listened to Trini telling them, or Kimberly telling them that they should dress like gentlemen.
Yep.
And we get Bulk and Skull in suits with ties.
Yep.
And Skull has a
and not just in like tuxedos, but like full on like
yes, yeah, like, they're basically tuxedos.
Yep.
It's like full on. What's that thing called? Like that vest that's under the jacket.
Most tuxedos come with a vest specifically. I don't know the huge difference between suit and vest, but yes, it has a vest even. Tucked in tie under the vest.
But it's the what really sells it is the fake facial hair on both of them.
Yes. Yep. Skull has a pencil thin mustache, and Bulk has a racist ass Fu Manchu. Well, I guess it's not racist because he's white. But it is that type of, like, thin...
It's a soul patch, but it's, like, 5 feet long.
Yeah,
it's a long...
Probably not even a Fu Manchu.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, it's just, like, an extended soul patch. And they walk up... Oh, also, Skull still has a skull pendant on over his, over his thing. Which
it makes Bulk look like Pen
Gillette. Yeah, he does look like Pen Gillette.
Oh my God, he totally does.
Yeah. So at this point, they hand Miss Appleby she's like, "Oh wow, I can't believe you guys cleaned up so well." And they hand her a gift.
Yeah.
At which point she says, "Oh, I thank you so much, but I just had my nails done. Could you open it for me?"
She's onto them.
Yes. And she goes, and she's like, they're like, "No, no, no, no." And she goes, "Please, I insist." Miss Appleby got hard in like the last, I don't know what happened, but they changed
her character. She has had to deal with the bullshit of this school. Like here's the thing. We talked about how she used to be really nice, but we also used to all kinds of horrible shit happen to her.
Yes, that's true. And she got tired of it and was like, no, yep. I'm done. That's it. Yep. So they open it because she forced them to, and Silly String shoots out all over them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so they took the advice enough to try to, because they didn't want to get a bad grade, right? That was the impetus. Yep. And then they fucking put a Silly String bomb in there to, like, prank their
teacher?
Well,
see, you're misunderstanding. They're not trying to get a good grade. They are subtly protesting the assignment by dressing as grotesque parodies of traditional masculinity.
I see.
This is absolutely.
This entire thing was a protest.
So they're saying, listen, fuck you for saying there's anything wrong with us.
Yep.
Yes.
We're perfect the way we are. So what we're going to do is show you what we really think of the male establishment.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Okay. I
basically, like, surprisingly they couldn't get the rights to Killing in the Name of to put over the scene, but that's what they should have done.
Oh man. Wow, that made me
Bulk
laugh.
And Skull absolutely listen to Rage Against the Machine,
absolutely.
But they don't get the significance of any of the lyrics.
No, absolutely not.
They just think it's funny. Yo, they rally around your family.
Also, they don't have the uncensored album. They only listen to their radio edits.
Yeah, they bought their copy at Walmart, so right. they auto sell the. The
so
radio
as far
edits.
As they know, it says you. I won't do what you tell me.
Fantastic. So, at that point, that's it. I don't know why I said at that point. That's it. The episode's over.
Everyone laughs at them.
Everyone laughs at them.
Yep.
They had like a appropriate protest to stage, and they fucked it up, and now everyone's laughing at them instead. So
also,
I know we touched on it, but seriously, fuck this lesson. This is bullshit.
Well, they do say like, okay, Tommy. It's fine that you're, that's just the way you are, but like, it's so overwritten by everything else in the episode that it doesn't work really. When we say they laugh, Tommy looks like he's gonna laugh so hard his like spleen's gonna rupture. Like, he is laughing hysterically at these two idiots.
And then he'll forget why he's in the hospital.
Wait, what was I laughing at again? Okay, never mind.
Oh, right. My gut hurts for some reason. Why is that?
So,
he just looks down and sees a photo of Bulk. Do not believe his lies.
All right. So that's the episode for this week. We are going to take I've just got one thing I want to go over this week. I'm actually going to skip questions.
Wait, what? Why?
Well, because we're having some technical difficulties and... we're short on people, and the most of the questions I got are for everybody, so I'm gonna wait till a couple people come back. So right. I'm gonna do some theories and some like corrections from people and some just observations. So if you have a question for us or a fan theory or anything like that, you can send it to us.
Or you just want to tell us how fucking dumb we are.
Yeah. I mean, we know that.
That's always.
Like, well. We know already, but you can tell us and reinforce that if you want. So you can send those to us at teenswithtude on Twitter, teenagerswithattitude @gmail.com, it's teenswithtude@gmail.com or teenagerswithattitude on Facebook. I'm sure that's not going to confuse anybody. Sorry about that. So our first thing is a quick clarification from... A Parallelo Dad on Twitter, who says, according to the D&D player handbook, swords and bows are martial weapons. Therefore, the art of swordsmanship and archery is martial arts. QED.
That's what everyone was saying.
Yeah. Well, no, if I recall correctly, Mike was against the idea that swordsmanship was martial arts.
Not swordsmanship, right. But specifically fencing.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, fencing is absolutely a martial art.
Yeah, sure.
So I just thought I just thought it was funny that that was his go-to final resource on that.
Yeah.
Christopher on Twitter lets us know that a new video game for okay, so basically in Europe, PEGI, which is Europe's version of the ESRB here, the board that rates video games, registered a game called Saban's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Mega Battle for the PS4. So this is a game that has not actually been announced, but is supposedly there should be a new video game for the PS4 for Power Rangers, which is kind of surprising because I thought they were just going to make mobile shitty mobile games forever. I didn't think would make a console.
Also, like, they called it Mighty Morphin, so I guess it's not a tie-in to the film, like, directly.
Well, it might...
Like, the movie's why it's happening, but it's not, like, based on the movie?
Right, so maybe that'll just... They're just gonna ride off nostalgia waves and try to sell it
that
way. So I don't have a ton of information. That's why I didn't go in the news nemo, but that's cool. We'll see what happens.
And what if, with that title, I'm just gonna, like, spitball, what if it was some kind of, like, big fighting game or something that unites rangers and monsters and stuff from all different generations.
I would play a fighting game that's basically like the Marvel vs. Capcom of all the Power Rangers series. Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's not what it's going to be, though.
No, of course not.
There haven't been any good Power Rangers.
It'll be a $15 side-scrolling brawler that's not very good.
Yeah.
That'll be what it is. But you know, probably. Are we too cynical? No.
No.
I mean, it's there hasn't been a sterling record of video games based on the Power Rangers exactly, so...
That's true. And finally, this week, I have something from Eric, which is a fan theory that he put way too much thought into.
Which is the correct amount of thought.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So a friend of the show, Eric, writes in, to point out something that we've never discussed on the show, which is that in case you watch the show and have noticed or don't watch and we haven't mentioned it, Tommy often usually is seen wearing a fish pendant. It's just a pendant with a fish on it. It's never really commented on. It's not like super flashy. It's not like a Jesus fish or anything. It's just a fish that he wears.
I was gonna say maybe it was a Christian thing because I know Jason David Frank religious.
So it might be because Eric says, here's something I've noticed. When Tommy is first introduced in Green with Evil, his pendant appears to be the black half of a yin yang symbol. When he becomes a good guy, and he is, quote, baptized by Zordon, and his sins as the evil ranger are washed away, he begins wearing a fish pendant. Even when the character goes away and returns in Return of an Old Friend, he is still wearing the fish pendant, in parentheses, which is frankly an astonishing catch by Wardrobe. I agree, they're not good about that shit.
A catch.
Oh, god damn it.
But the fish pendant, do you get it?
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, do you get that they caught,
thank you,
caught
Mike.
The fish pendant? Do you get it?
Thank you, Mike.
Do you get it?
Okay.
Zach, do you get it?
Yeah, I get it. Eric goes on to say that I believe the fish pendant is linked to the green power coin. He keeps the pendant all the way up through season 2, episode 13, Green No More, part 2. This is the last time he is seen wearing fish pendant, and the last time he has the Green Ranger powers. When he returns to the show with no powers, he is seen pendantless. When he returns again as the White Ranger, he is wearing what is very clearly the white half of a yin yang pendant.
That is such a specific detail that I have to assume that was either an accident or something Jason David Frank did with...
Oh, yeah, there's no fucking way that the show, like the writers of the show, were in on this. It's either a crazy coincidence or something that Jason David Frank thought would be super cool, bro. And
because they never planned for him to come back.
Right.
Yeah.
I just love that. I can't believe there's something that weird and specific that we never talked about.
We didn't notice.
I never saw I think I maybe noticed the fish pendant like once, but I definitely didn't notice that he was wearing it almost every episode.
I mean, we, we, we watch this shit on Netflix, most of us, and the video quality is just not good
it's
enough
not
to
great.
Catch.
Yeah.
Well, the video quality is not good because it's 25-year-old video.
Yeah, I've got DVDs, and they're not much better. A little bit, but yeah, it's tough to see it. You can, though. So yeah, I just shout out to Eric. That's a good fucking stupid theory. I like it a lot.
And also, Eric, like, this shouldn't mean a lot coming from us. Don't watch the Power Rangers so hard.
Yeah, dude, relax. It's okay.
Take a step back. It's okay.
Yeah. So that's going to be it for us this week. Quick plug. We have some friends who just started a new podcast called All Along the Watchtower, which is a DC Animated Universe podcast. And that's got Mitchell on it, who was on this episode. It also has our buddy Other Zach on it. And it also has our friend Cameron, who's been on a previous episode of the podcast. I think it was the Sailor Moon bonus episode. So check that out. You should be able to find it in iTunes, if not yet, shortly.
Yeah. So just, we don't know when it's actually going to go up.
So just keep an eye open.
Also, he is on Roll for Your Live.
Yeah, our buddy Dustin, who's been on a bunch of episodes, does that. So check that out. Until next week, which is the last episode of season one.
Oh, my God.
We're getting there. We're almost through.
Yeah, and we're not just quitting, Luke.
But what if we did, though?
It would be really funny, but for like a minute, and then I would be sad, though, afterwards. Yeah. So,
well, I'm not saying we can't start something else up.
So you just... No, that's the worst!
Luke, you actually got an out here, because remember, when you joined us in episode 2... You were
just a guest.
Yeah,
you were a guest. So you could just be like, yeah, this was how long I planned to stay. I'm outie. Peace, y'all. Just fucking bail.
Luke, don't leave us. Don't leave us.
Stay with us.
All right. So that's going to do it for us this week. Oh, God. I didn't write a... I didn't write
it. Right, we can do it. We've done this for 15
Okay, we could do this.
There's only four of us. We can do it. Come on.
Four teenagers with attitude.
Quick peek behind the curtain, listeners. Usually by this point, Zach has posted in the Skype chat the order in which we're going to sign off. Because if he doesn't, we fucking
it's a train
beef
wreck.
It every yep. time.
I didn't do that, so let's see how this goes. For Teenagers with Attitude, I've been Zach.
I've been Luke.
I've been Simon.
And I've been Mike.
And may the power protect you always.
I got in there quick, so I didn't have to work.
Stand up, you clumsy clay brains. It's time to begin the Mutant Ranger training. Not bad, number 3. Clay pot on Rita's coffee table if you don't shape up!